Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, where we review everything new to Workspace every week. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we are here to help you keep up. I went a little crazy shopping in the Google Swag store lately. I added, where is it, up over here, some new things to my background.
I got the Chrome dinos
that should look a little familiar from Steve's background over there. Although, as I'm the darker background and he's the lighter background, I got the inverse dark mode everything. I need that on a shirt. MKBHD, which is where this shirt is from, has matte black everything. I need dark mode everything. So I think that's going to be our first Google Workspace official swag.
That's not a new
shirt.
Going to
have to work on setting that up.
Before, right?
This is not a new shirt.
Yeah,
this is a new shirt,
which is one of the ones that I picked up
at the Google store as well. And it's got the YouTube logo on there for anybody who is not on the podcast side. And sorry, I'm on the wrong sleeve over here. It says YouTube on the sleeve as well, and I love these shirts. It's just super duper high quality, nice, comfy shirts. So showing that off over here, and then I also got some patches to go with my innovators patch over here. So eventually, when I put them on the jacket, I got a YouTube one. I got a Google Cloud one because I got to represent both the Google Cloud and the YouTube site. And I got a little YouTube sticker thing for the keyboard, but folks, don't put this on your laptop keyboard and then close the screen on it. I don't think that'll end well for your screen.
No, I plan on putting it on
the outside of my laptop as a little because it's like a jelly thing. It's 3D. It's not just a sticker.
Right.
So it really looks nice. So I'm gonna put that on the outside of my what will hopefully be a new laptop. Apple announced a new event coming on October 30th. They're calling it Scary Fast, and it's gonna probably be hopefully M3 Pro MacBook Pro, daddy needs an upgrade, let's go.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
I was talking to you the other week when I replaced mine that I lost, lost/had stolen, I think. I have the M2 top CPU, GPU, and 64 gig of RAM on mine, so
yeah,
I think I can get by without the M3 for a little while.
You'll be fine. I'm on the M1 Pro 16 gig, not fully maxed out. And ever since you got the 4K camera upgrade, all of my edits now are starting to struggle because it's multiple 4K streams instead of just a 4K and a 1080 stream. And I was editing the Jamf video. It's nuts. I was editing the Jamf video, which is four feeds. So yours is 4K, mine's 4K, and then both of theirs were 1080s. And then the edits and the screen share and all the other things. And it was really, it's starting to feel it. And we were remarking before the show here, it's funny how fast our expectations change, right? Moore's Law and all of that. But, you know, the M1 alone, not even Pro, just the M1 was this massive jump forward from the Intel i5, you know, processor and things like that, and then the M2 was just insane. And I'm not even talking the Ultra chips, just the Pro chips were crazy, and then Ultra was insane, then all of those others, and now we're talking M3, which may even be the 3-nanometer chips, which are also in the new iPhone 15 Pro Max, which I so far have been loving, and so I think that's going to be another massive jump. But it's like I'm complaining about how slow my $2,000 when I bought it, state-of-the-art Mac machine that's a year and a half, 2 years old, is how slow it is, and how quickly we, those of us who are speed demons, or whatever you want to call us, like myself, go to complain. But I also got two extra things from the Google store, which need assembly required. I got a brick puzzle of the Google logo, which you can hear the Lego bricks in there, 288 pieces. It's just the googly Google colors G Google logo, and of course represent Google Cloud. Got one exactly of the same type. Lego kit, 324 pieces. So some assembly required, and by some I mean all. So I will have to spend some time putting that together. First, I need to clean the studio. It's still a mess from the holidays and from Google Next and everything. So that's my intro. What's going on, Steve?
Well, I'll just add a little bit to the kind of the Mac topic there. Anyone in the Midwest that is kind of around Chicagoland here, I think they might have some locations, but that MacBook that I was talking about that I picked up, $700 cheaper than the Apple Store Direct. And I got that through Micro Center. And that was I thought I walked in, and I thought it was a refurb device. And I'm like, yeah, I saw this refurb, you know, Mac on your site, and I wanted to check it out. You know, can you show me the box and like show me what it looks like? I'm sure it's in pretty good condition. They're like, no, this is brand new, in the box still. It was $700 cheaper than list price, and I was surprised about that. So if you're ever looking for a brand new Mac at a cheap price, check out Micro Center, and I think you can actually buy it online and have them shipped to you. So that nice. Was, I don't see that model anymore on their site, but
right. Well, it was probably mid-year stock update.
This was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever this was, or a month ago.
They knew that new Macs were coming. I don't know.
They have, you know, 470, 310, 390 cheaper than list. So they have a lot of stuff on there that's cheaper than list. So. Yeah, good check deals. Them out if you ever want a cheaper MacBook. And I'm sure
I think I'm going to pick up a MacBook Air, probably M2 as well for kind of bedtime, you know, work, writing show notes
You work on a 16-inch or you have a 14-inch?
No, I do the 14-inch, but it's I don't like working in bed on a laptop with fans, and so that's why I'm looking at the Air. Just as like a couch, you know, laptop kind of a thing. I often use Chromebooks for that, but the Mac is just, the keyboard's just so quiet and not, you know, clicky-clacky like some of the other Chromebooks are. And when my wife is sleeping and I'm trying to, you know, do some emails or write up some show notes for some videos I'm working on, can get a little loud sometimes on the clackety-clackety. So, I don't know, something I've been thinking about. We'll see how cheap they get after the new M3 versions are announced. All right, we got a bunch of updates.
We do. And, you know, I was thinking of something else in the news. Not really a big thing to talk about, but earnings call day.
Oh, yeah? When was that? Did I miss
today.
That?
Today.
Is that coming? Oh, that's today? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it probably comes after the close, but yeah. Earnings call coming out, scheduled for today, end of day.
Nice.
Probably a few other, I think mostly everyone announces around the same time, so.
Yep. Well, we get to hear how much money Google Cloud is printing now. And,
yes. Well,
the multiple percentage points that they increase in market share and, you know, beat out AWS, et cetera, one point at a time.
And, well, I think the other thing, too, is it's right around that 3-year mark for all those workspace renewals that happened when people committed 3 years and their commitments are now. Discounts are getting slashed, that's for sure, for most regular size businesses.
It's hard, you know.
Yep.
We were just talking about a deal with 500 licenses or so, and you know, the discounts are there, but they're not what they were, certainly not before.
And I'm also seeing like situations where if a customer initially had a commitment with no discount, they're not offering a discount if you even move to a 3-year commit.
Jeez.
You know, and that was, that's, you know, painful. not a huge company, but it's like 150,
yeah,
150 users, and they're just like, no. We're not going to offer a discount. They already had a, you know, no discount last year on the commit pricing and with the new pricing, and that's it.
That's painful.
No more being offered.
Well, a pro tip for anybody who's doing that negotiating, and we did talk about this in the episode with Christian, which I also have to edit and release. No, I still have to edit that one. I was trying to get the Jamf one out, and then, what do you call it? And then we're going to get to that one and release it. Also, a new Sash Showdown episode this Friday. So lots going on, getting crazy busy around here. But pro tip in there is Duet for workspace pricing. Essentially, they are pricing it in such a way that you get a discount for including Duet licenses, X amount. Just ask your Google rep, ask your reseller, hey, what amount of Duet pricing what amount of Duet licenses do I need to get in order to bundle it together to get a Duet discount? Some of those are getting pretty aggressive. And whether you want Duet or not, it may end up having, because it's only 1-year commit, and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying all of this, but essentially years 2 and 3 of your 3-year contract will then be a lower price for your base price of your licenses. And so therefore you can benefit from there further on out if you choose not to continue on with the Duet licenses after year 1.
Yep.
So
right.
Hopefully nobody at Google yells at me for giving away the trade secrets, but that's why you listen to the show, right?
Yep, exactly. All right, well, let's look at the updates we do have this week. We've got quite a few, 5 during the week, and then a couple at the end of week recap post. So 4 silent updates that we saw. Multitask using a new split screen feature in the Gmail app is on large screen Android devices. And you know, kind of, you were talking about the Gmail app just not being up to par generally against the web app. So I'm sure you might have a little ad lib there on that when we talk about that one. I can now start to add Google Groups to Spaces in Google Chat. Again, this, I think, this is just some enhancements there. We've talked about that before, about that coming out. So a little minor update on that. More emoji reactions to comments in Google Slides coming to that. And then finally, respond to access requests for Google Workspace files more efficiently on Android devices. And then in the five updates we saw this week, there's the upcoming changes to third-party cookie requirements in Google Drive. You can understand the impact of context-aware access policies with monitor mode. Next, we have the ability to use the space management tool to build, delete, to bulk delete Google Chat spaces. Next, we have the subtly enhance your appearance with portrait touch-up when using Google Meet on mobile devices. And then finally, you can map and sync system attributes of users from the external directory into Google Workspace. I think I also saw that. Did they overturn the ruling that Spotify had? Or not Spotify, Sonos. Yep. It was Sonos, right?
Sonos.
Sonos
correct.
Had with the Google lawsuit. And you know what? I mean, that was a pretty annoying issue because many of like my sound systems in here, like I couldn't, like there was so much stuff I noticed
working.
After they stopped working. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like certain features that I used all the time
just
stopped working. And it just wasn't as seamless to kind of connect audio devices and cast all the speakers and things like that.
Did you notice how fast Google turned around the feature release to bring that feature back?
I don't, but I've noticed
it was
being
like
easier
36
now.
Hours. It was 36 to 72 hours.
Yeah.
It was like judgment, wait,
yeah.
Wait,
they,
release.
They probably just had,
that was
they had it ready to go, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was like a toggle, but you know.
Yeah.
Man. No, it was a huge, huge loss to the Google devices. And I don't know the details of that case, but in general, Sonos, I avoid Sonos devices because as a networked device on a network, they're kind of assholes in terms of routing with a complex
and
network.
Like
and I've had multiple networks where Sonos is just like, aha, I'm the router now. Listen to me. It's like, no, you're
you
a speaker.
What?
Shut up.
You know what? I noticed that happening with Crestron equipment too in an office.
Oh, really?
We had a Crestron control unit, and it's like, oh, you have a new DNS server in your environment, and you know, like now all of our devices are connecting to this DNS server and this Crestron server, and I'm like, why did that happen? When I plugged a Crestron equipment in to our network, and like miraculously, you're like, oh, you've got a new DNS server on your network now. And clients weren't connected to the internet because they were connected to the Crestron DNS and not getting out.
I don't get it. Companies have to stop doing that. Sonos does make really great stuff, but
that equipment predated me, so it might have been set up for a specific reason for that.
Like sure,
maybe it was supposed to be on a private network, and
yeah,
I plugged it into our main network, and it was something that was done prior to my arrival at the company.
Well, this also hits on something. One of my main gripes with the smart home industry right now is that. People need to play together, right? In order for all this stuff to work well, they need to play together. And so Thread is coming. It's now called Matter. Matter is the protocol that runs on Thread. And even Thread is getting USB-C-ified. Like, there's 8 different versions, and not everybody is following along, and not everybody is adopting it, even though they said they would. And it's like, ugh, stop it. Just play nice so that all of our stuff can work together. When it does work, it works great. I set up my, when I got my new phone, my lights on the side here, which I don't have on camera, but essentially the Nanoleaf lights, it was synced to my other home or my other phone, something or other. So I factory reset them. And then I added them to the Apple Home, which is their smart home application for it, and it's instant. It works so well. It was so easy and straightforward. So when it works, but we're still not quite there yet.
Yeah.
So,
I was talking about the slowdown of devices and stuff like that. My Mac Mini slows down now whenever I go to a site that has loads of ads on it. and like Chrome. It's just like right now I went to look at the, you know, the overturned case of the Sonos and Google thing, and whatever site I, you know, news site I went to was just riddled with advertisements, and everything just like came to a halt, and you were staticky, and like our video just froze.
So were
like,
you. I was wondering what the hell was going
that's
on.
That's what happened.
Stop doing that.
That's what happened. Try to go, you know, go to a news site. Right. I hate news sites too, but all the stuff they do with,
oh, it's so bad.
Worst sites. All right.
Well, hopefully, because we're using a better tool for recording, Riverside records both on your side and my side, and now it sounds like an ad for Riverside. Hopefully, your video feed and audio won't be a problem there.
Yeah.
But now on to the actual ad.
Yes.
A big shout out at this point to our friends at Jamf once again for making these weekly updates possible. I know we've mentioned Jamf a few times, so this week I want to do another product spotlight on their access and identity management solution called Jamf Connect. If you're familiar with GCPW or the Google Credential Provider, for Windows. Wow, I can't talk today. You understand the benefit of employees using their Google identity to log into their computer. It can reduce password fatigue and eliminate IT tickets. Well, Jamf Connect does that and so much more for the Apple devices in your company. By letting employees use their same Google identity to set up an account and log in to their Mac, users have a simple time starting with a new company or simply starting their day. In addition to account creation capabilities, users know that they can work safely from everywhere because their connection is secured with zero trust network access. This is an amazing solution for companies with Apple devices, and it can be integrated with Google Identity and most other identity providers. If you want to learn more, head over to jamf.com/workspace recap. That's jamf.com/workspace recap. And speaking of Jamf, as I mentioned before, our edited version of our certification episode with them exploring the Jamf 100 cert is going live this week. So keep an eye out for that as well on the channel.
Great.
On to the show.
On the show. All right. So that Android, that first Android update that I mentioned, this multitask feature using the new split screen in the Gmail app for large screen Android devices is now out. So there was some, you know, enhancements and feature improvements that we've talked about before for those you know, those Android device, larger Android devices. So this one here says that you know, upon tapping a link or attachment in the email, that link will open on the right half of the screen, and the email will move to the left half. I don't know how much I like that. I mean, I don't often like the view like this. You know, I don't know. I don't like the side-by-side stuff, the side-by-side view. I've never been a fan of it. It reminds me too much of Outlook, you know? I don't know. It's just, I've never liked it. But, you know, that's what will happen here.
Well, you're talking about a side-by-side view of an email and then tapping the list of emails on the left-hand side to open the content of the email on the right-hand side.
Yeah, I mean, even still, it's just... Yeah, if you look at the animated picture here, right, it has that, you know, the side panel of your inbox, and then, you know, the email on the right opens, and then it kind of transitions the email preview over to the left, and then your, you know, attachment preview on the right. And I'm just like, just open up full screen, because like most of the time attachments and whatever is linked, it needs a full screen to actually see it properly. No one designs these like attachments or you know, links to really open in a narrow screen, and it doesn't always render properly, even though, you know, sites and things like that are being built today to be, you know, adaptive and responsive. It's just it's not always ideal. I think you need the full screen. You should default to full screen.
Yeah, I think that in this setup here, because it's a mobile device and application, you're expecting the mobile version of websites, which it does render and it shows up there. So I actually think it's pretty nifty how they are,
like, especially
not attachments. No, so attachments, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Attachments shouldn't open in a, you know, in a split window like that. It should go full screen, but they're clicking a link here and it's opening up the browser in that, you know, sliding that window over. And I think that, you know, on half the screen, which is the normal size of a regular phone screen, for something that's a link in an email, I think that's actually a good UI. But for attachments, no, I agree with you. I want it full screen because I'm going to want to take advantage of the fact that I have a full screen device, whether it's, you know, a $1,700 foldable or a Pixel tablet or something like that.
I mean, I don't even like that split view on a laptop screen, but whatever. All right.
Same.
So we have that, and then also just the fact that it's saying you can control the width of it, so you can drag it over and make it a little bit bigger. So at least you can do that once it loads. I wonder if it will save your preferred percentage drag on that. Like if you drag it over to, you know, let's say 70-30, if we'll keep it there every time. That'd be nice if it did that. I gotta get a large format Android device. I want to get the... the thing that you have, the not the tablet, but
yeah,
the,
I gotta
the
start
home.
Using mine more. I haven't even played with it yet. It's yeah. it's the Pixel tablet. It's not the a, it's tablet. Not the home.
Yeah, it's right. It's right. Yeah. It's like it, but okay, Pixel tablet.
It's whatever the home is going to move towards. It looks like they're, or at least it feels like to me that the Google Home environment is just stagnant.
Yeah, I was.
Oh well, sad times.
I really want to get a new Pixel 8 Pro with the watch, but I'm like, I just got the 7 Pro recently, and I don't know. I like the blue. Right. I like the blue though too. I really do like the blue.
That's nice.
Tempted, but don't mm-hmm. need it. Just want it. That's the thing.
Yeah, disposable income, right?
Yeah. All right, moving on. You can now start to add those Google Groups to Spaces in Google Chat. So that was some things we've talked about here before in the past, but that is the rollout. The rollout is finally starting here this week, and that is going to hit the rep release domains right now, and then schedule release domains. It will start on the 1st of November, a few more days. Year is almost over. I can't believe it. We're just coming up on Halloween and about to talk about our year in review here pretty soon, Jesse.
So, yep, coming up. Start
counting up those updates. This is, yeah, I think that's all that there. Domain verified Google Workspace customers. Next update here is coming over to those comments in Google Slides. So pretty straightforward announcement there. That is also on rep release domains already, and going to start just a little a day before on the 31st of October for those scheduled release domains. And then next, I feel like I missed one. That's 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, fourth one here. Ability to respond to access requests for Google Workspace files a little bit more efficiently on Android devices. So there was kind of a new file access experience to make it a little bit easier for approvers to respond. That was previously announced. That's now making it a little bit easier on those Android devices. So within the doc sheet slides and PDFs, you can just kind of respond a little bit easier. That is going to allow you to kind of go to the share button, select review button in the new banner to view the access request, and then you'll be able to respond. That is out on both scheduled release and rep release domains already. All right. Next, looking at those five main updates we had during the week. First one here is the changes to third-party cookie requirements in Google Drive. So these have started, so Google Chrome and other browsers have begun phasing out third-party cookies in order to protect user privacy. So this is something that here that will start over in Google Drive starting on the 2nd of Jan next year. And Google Drive will start serving downloads without requiring third-party cookies that are enabled on third-party cookie websites. And that is separate from downloading files from Google Drive. So this is something that kind of relates to specific workflows. Maybe it might have some impact to those that have specific workflows in place that rely on Google Drive's download URLs or use an app which relies on Drive's download URLs. And so you'll need to switch to the Google Drive and Docs publishing flows by that January 2nd date. So there are some specific details in here for those of you that this might apply to. Probably shouldn't apply to too many of you. Probably more to anyone that's maybe doing some automation with Drive download links, or maybe things like GAM potentially could be needing to make these updates. So I'm sure Ross and Jay have done whatever is necessary to make that work. And so some more details in there, and that'll, of course, impact all Workspace customers and those with Google accounts using the Drive app.
It's getting close to lunchtime over here, but all I heard was cookie, 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 cookie.
Yeah, yeah. Do like me some cookies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This next update here is a way for you to understand the impact of context-aware access policies with monitor mode. So this is just kind of a way for admins to maybe start to look at the impact that a new policy would have on your, you know, on your users, but not actually enforce those context-aware policies just yet. So this is something that, you know, this concept here was really, this was also available in the DLP rules a while ago. So you could kind of turn on a DLP rule and start to kind of, you know, not take any action on them just yet and see how many times those are triggered. So similar to that DLP rule, this is now coming to CAA. So, you know, you don't have to necessarily roll this out, you know, gradually to a subset of, you know, users and, you know, kind of, you know, have it even impact those users initially and then kind of roll it out to the rest of people. You can actually just deploy this to everyone, you know, see, you know, the number of hits essentially that you're getting on that policy across all of your users, and then start to decide, you know, how do I want to do it? You know, when do I want to activate it? And maybe, you know, take some action with your users ahead of time to say, hey, look, we've got this new policy coming out. It would normally have impacted you, but here's what you need to do to kind of make sure that you don't get impacted once we roll that out. So I think that kind of gives you kind of a good summary of what this update is all about. So if you need to make that adjustment or, you know, or start to roll out some new policies, that is and should be available to you already, because that was started on the 17th of October. On a full rollout with 1 to 3 days for visibility for both those rapid release and scheduled release domains. And, you know, as context-aware access policies are only available to certain customers, you will need to be on the Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Enterprise Standard Education Plus, and the Cloud Identity Premium SKU to get access to that.
It's a pretty cool feature.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Next is some improvements here to the space management tool to bulk delete Google Chat spaces. So using that tool, you can now delete multiple spaces within their org all at once. So it just makes it a little bit more efficient and easier to get rid of those spaces that you may not need and delete them. So some details here on some images here on what that looks like. Pretty straightforward in terms of kind of that new functionality, but just take a few, hit delete, and then delete those in bulk. This
appreciate the large size screenshots that are here, but also I wanted to comment that it was just yesterday that, or it feels like just yesterday, that we were begging for a way to delete them, and now we've got a way to bulk delete them. Mm-hmm. So definitely appreciate this update, especially for just the initial cleanups as we start going in here to delete things. If you haven't done it yet, now it's going to be so much easier.
You know what I wish they would support deletion of is the team drives.
Like, yes.
They're, like, you can delete them, but they're still showing up in your admin console. Like, they will never go away from your admin console. So, you know, when you mistakenly created 500, you know, team drives with, you know, from a migration, and they're all, you know, named one because they were, you know, the team drive IDs instead of the actual nice names you wanted, well, you still have pages and pages of team drives showing up on your, you know, initial dashboard that you just cannot get rid of. And
that sounds like
a little annoying.
Sounds like that was a personal request there, Steve.
I mean, it's not really that. It's just that we test those things like in our dev environment, and they're there in the dev environment, you know, so we make the mistakes there most of the time, of course, but, you know, it's like, well, I know that it's just there. It just lingers, you know, and it's just, I want to get rid of them. You know, I want to clean it up, and you just can't. Yep. So yeah, hopefully, I don't know if it's, I think it might have happened maybe once or something in the production, but I know we have a lot of them in our test environment, and it's just annoying to have to sift through that if you're actually looking for, you know, the A's of your team drives that you do actually use and are active.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. This one also started to roll out on the 17th of October. A little bit longer on this one, though, for rollout pace, which is gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility on both rapid release and scheduled release domains. And it looks like there's a little limitation here on the SKUs, but business, I think it's just really everyone. I don't know why they have this long list. I think it's pretty much everyone that has Essentials, Business Starter, Standard Plus, Frontline. I think this is everyone. I don't see anyone excluded from that. Looks like all Workspace customers here. Do you see anything missing from this?
Nonprofits.
Nonprofits? Well, come on. They're not going to prevent that from nonprofits. Really? Yeah, I mean, nonprofits aren't listed, but I don't know if that would have been excluded. I feel like there's a little oversight on that one. But
could be.
Mostly
could
everyone be. Looks like they will get it. Right. Next update, some improvements to Google Meet on mobile devices. Where you can now subtly enhance your appearance with portrait mode touch-up. So there will be some subtle and smoothing capabilities that you will have already probably seen on the web client for Google Meet, but now is going to be available on mobile devices. So that also, let's see here, also in addition to mobile, this feature, they plan to introduce that on the web by the end of 2020. Oh, so actually, okay, here we go. So it's actually coming to mobile first. Look at that.
Hmm.
I thought this would have been an enhancement that maybe came to web first and now it's coming to mobile, but it looks like it is coming to mobile first. Look at that.
We already have some touch-up.
I thought so, right?
Maybe that's Duet, or it's being moved to Duet.
Hmm. It's a good
or maybe
question.
This is granularity with the touch-up, because...
Yeah, see, I thought this was going to be like a Duet feature, right?
Yeah, we were talking about that before.
Yeah. This was listed in some of the Duet features, wasn't it? I mean, I believe so. Yeah, this doesn't say that it's going to be linked over to Duet unless they've forgotten that they've talked about it moving to Duet and then they failed to mention it in this update. Possibly is what could have happened. So,
don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just something that we were testing. Because I never saw anything, you know, subtle or smoothing mode or anything like that. But
right.
I did see AI touch-up mm-hmm. listed before.
Right.
Yep. Trying to find it.
Yep.
Don't know.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
You know, it's still fluid what's coming or not coming to be in Duet specifically.
Yep.
It seems.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. This Google Meet feature will make you look good. Check how to do it right. Google Meet Green Room. Yada, 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 yada. Is it this one? Quick settings, various effects in the green room. Where did I see it? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on.
Moving on. Let me see. Roll up pace on this one. Yeah, sorry. Roll up pace. Gradual rollout for rep release domains starting on the 18th of October. Up to 15 days for that one. Scheduled release domains will start on the 20th of October. That one is going to be on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 50 days for visibility there. And interesting that they put a screenshot of the settings in the rollout pace section rather than started section. Figured, like, you know, here's how to use it, like, not put in the rollout pace section, but yeah, it's in settings.
First I thought there was no screenshot. I was like, wait a minute.
No, it's there. And yep. You know, decent size for a mobile screenshot too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it'll be called Portrait Touch Up, and you'll have off smooth and then subtle as your options, or off subtle and then smooth. I think that's kind of how it goes from least to most enhancement there. And then finally, we have the ability to map and sync system attributes of users from external directory into Google Workspace. So this is part of the directory sync functionality, and that will kind of help sync over some of those attribute values and then automatically map the users with the attributes provided from Active Directory or Azure Active Directory over to the Google Workspace side. So there are some different things that you can select here. So it gives you some optional attributes like department or employee org, data cost center, you know, job title. Those are the ones that are, you know, coming from, Microsoft. And then you can map those over into the Google attributes that you've created for that. And I think there's probably a few different pre-selected defaults. It looks like these are, you know, default drop-downs on the Google side in the user attribute mapping doc here. Look at that. I just heard a ping. I'm like, I am still in a meeting from earlier this morning. Interesting. There we go. I just got that. Lovely. Are you still there? Ping, you know, from Google Meet. So
it's only 2 minutes. Usually, I've been recording for longer than that.
I don't know why it pinged me right now, because that happened many hours ago. That meeting.
Weird.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. So for those of you with Directory Sync, this is a. Directory Sync is still available in an open beta, so there's no setup for that one. But go check that out if you haven't already. Updates for or kind of timeline on this, really no details on that. It's available now for all users and nothing specific to rapid release or scheduled release domains. So that's all workspace customers that will get that are using Directory Sync. That is all for the updates we have this week.
That's it. Once again, keep your eyes peeled for the Jamf episode and for the SaaS Showdown episode that is going to drop later this week. Have a great week. Thanks for coming back every week and sticking with us on Workspace Recap. I said that totally backwards. Have a great week. We'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.